But the key is availability. When you say yes, then you make yourself available. And sometimes what God will use is what you already know through your training or your natural giftedness. But sometimes, thank the Lord, He'll take you beyond what you know or what you're familiar with. And the reason I say thank you, Lord, is this. I never, ever, ever intended to be a lead pastor, a senior pastor. I never saw any of the ministries that I served in over these last 30 years as a stepping stone to something else. I was all in right where I was. In truth, God had to kind of nudge me along to get me from one station to another a few times. But availability is where it starts. If you wait and you say, well, when the right opportunity comes, you're going to miss out. I think you really will. You just step out, go with what you know, go with what you love, go with what's available, and just get started. That whole theory of momentum, it's easier to stay in motion when you're already in motion. It's true spiritually as well as in physics.
As we read in Isaiah 6:8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the sixth episode of the Catalytic Podcast. My name is Mike Falkenstein, president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst, and your host for this latest episode of the podcast. And I'm so glad that you're with me. And yes, as we read in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord wants our best. The Lord wants our availability. And I think you're going to see that come through during this, the latest episode of the podcast, where I had the distinct pleasure to interview Jimmy Vaughn, senior pastor at Authentic Life Fellowship in Greenville, Texas. You know, I've gotten to know Jimmy over the last 2 or 3 years, and the more I get to know him, the more I like about him and his heart for the Lord. I know he's become a big fan of my latest book, Keeping Watch Over Souls, The Six Marks of a Church That Makes Disciples. And so we have just enjoyed getting to know each other, and I am just thrilled to introduce you to him and he to you all. And so please enjoy this latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast, and thank you again for joining us. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. And again, I have another interview episode. This time, we have a pastor for the first time, and I'm really excited to have Jimmy Vaughn here with us. And Jimmy, I know you and I got to know each other on a joint trip to India. And I keep telling Steve, our joint friend Steve Shermer, we need to do that again, kind of once we're through this virus season.
I'm always down to travel and to serve. That was a wonderful opportunity, yes.
That was a lot of fun. That was really fun. And of course, God's really at work there, as he is around the world. And so Jimmy, before we begin on the three questions I have for you, why don't you give folks just a little bit of a here's who you are, a little bit about your ministry at your church, a little bit about the church. Give folks just a couple of minutes on kind of who you are and what you do.
Okay. Well, my name is Jimmy, and I am the lead pastor at Authentic Life Fellowship here in Greenville, Texas. Authentic Life is a church of, any given Sunday we'll average 130 or so, but that is not the sum total of who ALF is, but we're considered a coffee house church by some of our more classic neighbors. Our church is just simple. We focus on the truth of the gospel. We focus on the simplicity of salvation, and we focus on just trying to be a simple, accurate, and consistent reflection of the gospel. Our church is a very diverse church in the type of people that call it home. We seem to have a growing ministry and reaching out to those who have been jaded by the church, by past events. It's very interesting. And so ALF is a wonderful place. It's really simple. You know, we tried to do things in a meaningful way, with intention, and it's just been my privilege to be pastor here now for over 15 years, and it's a wonderful place. So
that's great. And give me again the thing you always say about your church. It's like the church that's next to the bowling alley.
Yeah, and you ever ask, hey, where's ALF? Well, we're the church that looks like a tent next door to the bowling alley.
That's great.
Because our worship center is a beautiful architecture, and it does look like a tent because it was designed to be that way in its original design. It's supposed to look like the tabernacle.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. That's great. Well, so Jimmy, on this episode, what I'd like to do is hear from you a little bit about first, just, a little bit of your background, how you came to know the Lord, and then kind of merge that into, you know, how you felt called into ministry and how that whole process happened. Give folks a little background on sort of how you came to know the Lord.
Oh, man, one of my favorite topics. Well, I was born into a non-Christian home. I actually found out that my parents married 3 months after I was conceived, so I was conceived out of wedlock. My parents had two kiddos, myself, and I have a sister who is 6 years my younger. But it was a non-Christian home in that we never prayed, we never went to church. I'm not even sure if there was a Bible in it. Unfortunately, when I was 9 years old, my father was killed in a freak work accident. And then when I was 11 years old, my mother was killed in a drunk driving accident. She was the drunk, unfortunately. It took her life. It claimed the life of a husband and father of three little girls. And it left continual and lasting marks on me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Mm-hmm. So I was orphaned at 11, my sister and I, but we were taken in by my dear aunt and uncle, John and Patsy Reeves. They had a marriage which included three kids my uncle came into the marriage with, three kids my aunt came into the marriage with, and my sister and I made eight kids. So we were the original Bradys. We were the his, mine, and ours group. One of the things, many of the multitude of things that this new family gave to me, it gave to me a spiritual heritage. We were church-going people. We were faithful to the church. We were faithful to participate in the church. My parents' philosophy was this: if you weren't burning up or throwing up, you were getting up. I like to say I had a drug problem when I was a teenager. I got drugged to church every time the doors were open.
That's great.
And like many of us, when I turned 18 and I moved out of my parents' home, I walked away from the church because I found myself focusing on what I thought the hypocrisy was. I made my way in the world. I actually created my own religion, followed it for about 3 years, Jimmyism. Just if it was good for me, it was good. Unfortunately, I slowly became grossly dissatisfied with life and all that that entails, relationally, spiritually, economically, and all of those things. And it was January of 1987. I'd been invited to church here locally by a friend of mine. And quite truthfully, the only reason I went was I thought he would shut up and leave me alone about it. Mm. Well, I went to the church and then I ended up going back again. Well, by the end of January, I had received Christ as my personal Savior. I grew up in church. I don't recall a clear gospel teaching in my childhood, but I was not born again as a child. It was here that I made a true profession of faith. So that was January of 87. In April of 87, I was in a spring revival where Dr. Michael Gott was preaching, and I sensed a call to ministry. Mm. It was as clear and as simple as in my mind and in my heart. God rolled out a scroll, and he simply said, "Sign this. I want it all." And that's exactly what I did. I had quite truthfully no clear understanding of what that meant other than God wanted it all. And that's what I was willing to do. And I signed that contract with him, and I do not regret it one day of these 3 years later. So I was saved in January, called to ministry in April, and on my first church staff in September of 87. That is not the way to do it, but that's the way it was done in my life. And so I have been serving the Lord since the first Sunday of September of 1987. And I have served him as music minister, as a youth minister, as an associate pastor, as a missionary, and now as a lead pastor. And it has been a wonderful journey, more than I ever could have dreamed my life would be.
That's awesome. That's really great. That's a good testimony. And yeah, that's, on one hand, that's probably not how you want to do it, the within a year of coming to faith and then you're on church staff. But obviously it worked for you, right? God saw you through.
I survived it. Yes.
That's great. So you were on staff within the first year of coming to know the Lord. I'm wondering if there is, give us an idea of, you know, because I think a lot of people listening, you know, they are Christians, they've come to faith, but maybe they don't believe that, they can't understand how God would want to use them, even if it was just to reach neighbors or just something really simple. So that year that you, you know, went from coming to know the Lord to being on staff, give us some more insight in terms of you going from, okay, I'm saved, to, man, I need to tell others, or I need to be actively involved. What were the circumstances around that in particular?
Sure. Well, fortunately, I was saved under the ministry of a pastor who had a strong gift of evangelism. So he was pushing. His philosophy was win 'em, wet 'em, and work 'em. And so under that energy, under that guidance, under that push, when you're in your early 20s and you're a single male and you've surrendered to ministry, then everyone thinks it must be youth ministry. Well, I didn't know any better, right? And so I began to pray that God would create a place where I could have influence in the lives of teenagers. I had no education. Let me just say this, Mike. One of the keys, the initial key, is availability. If people will simply raise their hand and say, Lord, here am I, send me, God will always put into you what he needs out of you. Always, always, always. And the reason I know that to be true was my own story. So I said, Lord, put me somewhere. I had no Bible training. I had no Bible college. I mean, you know, all these things. And so a single shift at the local juvenile detention center became available. I interviewed for it and I received, you know, I got the job. So I'm working one shift a week for the juvenile detention center. Now that is a captive audience if there ever was one, right?
That's right.
From that single shift, which happened to be midnight to 8 o'clock, Saturday night to Sunday morning, it made Sunday morning church real long. But I said, Lord, give me a place. Well, he gave me one shift. I accepted the shift. I was faithful to the shift. And from there, I grew to become the director of the detention facility.
Wow.
And so I served at the juvenile detention facility and served in ministry bivocationally until I stepped into ministry full time. And so what happens is when an individual simply make themselves available, God will open doors that but God answered my prayers. Lord, I want a place. Just give me a place. And from there, we just don't simply have time for me to tell all the stories. But the key is availability. When you say yes, then you make yourself available. And sometimes what God will use is what you already know through your training or your natural giftedness. But sometimes, thank the Lord, he'll take you beyond what you know or what you're familiar with. And the reason I say thank you, Lord, is this. I never, ever, ever intended to be a lead pastor, a senior pastor. I never saw any of the ministries that I served in over these last 30 years as a stepping stone to something else. I was all in right where I was. In truth, God had to kind of nudge me along to get me from one station to another a few times. But availability is where it starts. If you wait and you say, well, when the right opportunity comes, you're going to miss out. I think you really will. You just step out, go with what you know, go with what you love, go with what's available, and just get started. That whole theory of momentum, it's easier to stay in motion when you're already in motion. It's true spiritually as well as in physics.
That's right. Wow, that's really good. That's good for that. I have another question for you, but let's wait until after our break. Let's go ahead and take our quick break and let our friend Tom Mueller join us briefly. And when we get back, I want to get into that a little bit, Jimmy, particularly availability versus, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone, because that's becoming a theme within these interviews. So let's get to that here in just a minute.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for being with us again. And it's such a pleasure to be with Jimmy Vaughn, pastor at Authentic Life Fellowship. So, Jimmy, I'm wondering, thank you for those words about availability, first of all, because that is the key, right? If you just make yourself available, God will do something with it. I know in the previous interviews I've done, this whole idea of comfort zone and our comfort zones comes into play. So talk to me just briefly about, what that was like for you. I mean, did you feel like, I'm being called to do this, but, you know, it just be so much easier to do this other thing or not be involved or whatever. How did that work out for you?
Well, initially, when in the early days of my salvation, and I was, like the old evangelist once said, I would charge hell with a water pistol. Motivation was not a problem for me. As a matter of fact, at times, unfortunately, I think I was motivated to the point of abrasiveness. But later on in ministry, especially 15 years ago, ahead of being in this senior pastor role, I was fearful. You know, the Lord seemed to be opening up this opportunity, but I was fearful because, one, I never aspired to do it. Two, you don't know what you don't know until you realize you don't know it.
Yeah, that's right.
Even greater than that was the men that I had had the privilege to serve alongside of were so excellent in their service. Quite truthfully, I thought I could never live up to that. I could never be that studious. I could never be that, fill in the blank. And one of my greatest struggles was I was not like them in my mannerisms, in my presentation, in my teaching style, all of those things. And I really wrestled with, if I can't be Billy Graham, then it surely I can't be a lead pastor. And the Lord really had to move in some clear, incredible ways to help me understand that this was what He wanted for me to do. But it still boiled down to, would I raise my hand and say, here am I, send me. No matter what God did, and it's a wonderful story, it still came down to, Jimmy, are you going to answer the call? Are you going to step into the deep end of the pool and believe where God leads, He provides? And I am so thankful that God gave me what I needed to do it. Because if I had robbed myself of the last 15 years of ministry, I just don't even know how to express what that would be like.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of follow-up questions potentially, and you're right, that could be a whole nother episode,
hey,
right?
But there could be a whole nother, I'm dumping into the next podcast interview.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So before we get to the third main point, one question I will ask is, for those people that are listening who think, I think God's calling me to a thing, but it's going to be hard. I'm going to have to give up a lot. I'm going to have to change my life significantly. What would your words of wisdom be to them and encouragement to them?
My encouragement to you is this: nothing in life or in eternity comes easy. Nothing really good is cheap. Now, you can get cheap, but it's not good. And it has been my experience in this. When I graduated high school in 1984, I thought I had my life mapped out. I was going to be a psychologist. I couldn't spell it, but I wanted to be it because I thought they made a lot of money. I knew what car I was going to buy. I knew where I was going to go immediately after graduating. I had all of those things lined out. I had a four-year relationship with a young lady out of high school. I had what I thought I wanted. The unfortunate part of that was this, is everything on the inside of me was grossly dissatisfied. On the outside, it looked normal, good, exciting. When I signed the contract to be a disciple of Christ, I had absolutely no idea what the price of entry was going to be. Couldn't comprehend it. It did cost me everything, but this is what I know, is 33 years later, I have more than I ever could dream of that the Lord has allowed me to do, that the Lord has invited me to be a partner with Him. I've never fooled myself. God does not need Jimmy Vaughn, but He wonderfully and graciously invites me to be a participant in what He's doing. Mm-hmm. And when I sit and I think about what my 53 years has afforded me, it's without words. You will never out sacrifice God's blessings. Mm. And if God takes it from you, you didn't need it. But what He will give you in return will be exceedingly and abundantly more than your mind or your heart could conceive. Anytime a believer finds himself contemplating, is the price of admission too high? Behind that thought is the voice of the devil. He's whispering a lie into our minds and into our hearts because He knows what the Lord has planned for us is exceedingly and abundantly more and better. So if I could just download, you know, my life and my experience and my testimony, I didn't know what the price of admission was, but I'd pay it again 100 lives over.
Amen. That's great. So maybe finally, Jimmy, my last question for you, and this is a good segue from what you were just talking about. You know, I think as I look at the Western Church and how so many are just, as we were talking about before we actually started recording about, so interested in the Sunday morning experience and is kind of leaving this, hey, let's work on making fully devoted followers of Jesus that then bear fruit in our community and around the world. If there was one thing you could just say to other church leaders about that, what would that thing be in terms of, and maybe it's, hey, whatever sacrifice you have to give, it's more. But, you know, to other church leaders, what would your encouragement be to make fully devoted followers?
Well, I just finished a series here at ALF on stewardship. And I had a preaching prof once tell me, you know, when you preach on stewardship, you need to prepare to lose a few people. Well, last Sunday, my church was completely empty. That's a Corona season joke. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
But what I did was I emphasized the fact that stewardship, if our lives is 100%, if we look at 0 to 100, and if you want to go with the classic tithe, 10%, so 10% of stewardship is financial. So that leaves 90% that's everything else. The 10% will follow the 90%. And so if we are focused on being stewards of the 90%, then the 10% question will answer itself. And so it is my passion to continually reinforce the fact that being a true, successful, and sustained disciple of Jesus Christ means it's a lifestyle. I've seen an illustration where you've got a container and you put golf balls in the container and then you pour sand inside the golf balls and it fills up. Well, then you'd pour liquid inside that. Well, that liquid permeates everything. It's around the golf balls. It's in the sand. Stewardship is 100% of everything. When we reach a place where our lives is consistently influenced by what would God have me to do? How would God have me to respond? What would God have me to say? What would God have me to pick up? What would He have me to lay down? When pleasing the Lord and reflecting Him accurately becomes the sole sum of our success, then we're ready. Because what would we, you know, what would we not give? I asked my church Sunday, or a couple of Sundays ago when I was finishing up. So let me ask you this: for your children, would you only give them 10%? Absolutely not. Would your wife accept only 10%? Mike, I know you're happily married. I don't think your wife would be very happy with only 10%.
That's right.
Do we want 10% out of our children? No. The Lord wants it all. And when we become lifestyle disciples, then we're ready to be used at a high level. Then we're ready to be flexible for a coronavirus season. When we say, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do through this, but I want to be a part of it. You know, whether, you know, whatever you want to accomplish in this. And I can say for me personally, part of what God's accomplishing during this time of the virus is in me. As I sit here talking to you, Mike, I'm looking out my office window, and about a mile up the street from me is our local hospital. And Wednesday night, I sat here and I was doing a live webcast to my church teaching while in that hospital that they won't allow me in. I called and I went three rungs up the ladder and I still got rejected. Sat one of my ladies at the bedside of her daughter, who was in my youth group in 1990, waiting for her to pass.
Mm.
And it was soul crushing to me, Mike, because that's where I needed to be. She was sitting in that room by herself with her daughter, waiting for Jesus to come claim her. And I would have given anything to be in that room for 1,000 reasons. But what God was reminding me was this: Jimmy, I don't need you. Now, I want you. God had a plan, because that room, that circumstance at this time did not take it by surprise. And so I had to pray and remind myself, Lord, you don't need me, but you graciously allow me to be a part. So God's working on me.
All right.
In the time of the virus. And so those, you know, those thoughts and submissive feelings only come when all you want more than anything is to glorify the Lord.
Mm.
That's what I want more than anything in my life, more than my own life. That's what I want.
Mm. That's a good word.
And as leaders, we can't call people to what we're not doing. And so I would just say this to my pastors and all of us, anyone that's in a position of leadership, a shepherd: you can't call your people to what you're not doing. You have to lead them by example. And if we are not fully committed disciples of Christ, our folks won't be either. But if we'll lean in and we'll sell out and we'll be consistent and we'll stick and stay, no matter how difficult things get, I'm telling you, people will rise to the example and you will truly get the privilege of multiplying your ministry into the lives of others.
Wow, that's a great word. And it is true. There are two or three things that I catch. Of course, one being, you know, maybe in that there's, okay, church leaders, what is really the purpose that you're here to accomplish?
That's right.
Right. And then also, please don't tell your people to be sharing the gospel if you're not doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Which we see quite a bit too. So, and then, yeah, especially with this coronavirus season.
Sure.
I get a sense, and again, a whole nother episode probably, but I get a sense that there's just, God's got a lot for the church through this time. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. So, well, Jimmy, thank you so much for the time together. I do think we've set ourselves up well for to have you back if you'd be willing to do it.
Oh,
and so we'll look forward to having you with us again sometime soon.
Mike, thank you for your time and thank you for the opportunity to share my story. And I am here for you 24/7. You ring and I'll answer. And may the Lord continue to bless you as you seek to influence the world for Christ.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Let me thank Jimmy Vaughn again for his time. And let me also say, if you're ever in the Dallas area, Greenville, Texas, where Authentic Life Fellowship is only about 45 minutes east of Dallas. And if you're there on a Sunday, yeah, let me highly recommend that you visit them. You're going to be glad that you did. catch their services online. I know they have their Sunday services on Facebook, and which I catch from time to time. And so thank you, Jimmy. Sure appreciate you, brother. And I want to thank you all for joining me for this latest episode. And I will look forward to having you with me for episode 7. Thank you. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.